Dalanum in base. So we want to do the Mishnah now of Sharshu Yotze Li Sokel. It's literally at the bottom of the page, four lines up from the bottom, on Dafmem Dalanum in base. Now, with regard to a Shara Niska, which means a Shara that killed a human being, there are a few stages. First of all, there's the stage of the Negicha, the actual assault when the victim was killed by the Shara. Then there's going to be a stage which is called Ha'amada Bedin, which means that the Yarshim, the inheritors, the heirs of the victim, will sue the owner of the Shar in a court of law, in a Jewish court of law, to establish that this Shar is a Shar Shehemis Esa Adam, it's a killer Shar, and therefore the Shar has to be put to death, and the Baal, the owner of the Shar, has to pay kofar.
So how much is kofar?
Kofar is, that's a big machlokas. It's either the value on the market as an evid of the nizak, had he still been alive, mm-hmm. or the value of the mazik himself, the human mazik who owns mm-hmm. the shor. Now, what's happening is that we've gone through the state of hamada bedin, but we haven't reached the third level, and that's called the horas bezdin. When Bezdin, at the end of the day, after all the evidence came in and the two witnesses testified that this shark killed a person, at that point, there's something called a Gmar Din. Gmar Din is the, you know, the verdict is issued by the court. Mm-hmm. You know, they call a quiet in the courtroom, you know, yeah, with the gravel of this. And then the judge comes in and he pronounces guilty or innocent as charged or whatever it might be.
And we need two witnesses for to put an animal to death?
Yeah. Only two witnesses. And that's based on a principle, which I think we'll see here in a minute, called Kimisaso Shel Shar, Kimisaso Shel Bailim, Kach Misaso Shel Shar. That when we judge a Shar and condemn him for death, all the regulations that apply to a case of a human murderer apply as well to the Shar as a murderer. For example, the Herkev, the makeup of the Bezdin has to be 23 judges. Wow. Which is called the Sanhedrin HaKtana. Three judges is enough for Dini Mominus. But it's not enough to condemn someone to death. And it's not enough to condemn an animal to death.
Interesting.
But be that as it may, so we have these three stages. We have stage number one, where the animal killed someone. We have stage number two, where they brought the animal to judgment. And they started accepting evidence and testimony against the Shar. And then we have stage number three, which is called the Gmar Din, not the Hamad Bedin, but the Gmar Din when Bezdin issues its verdict. Now we also have to know something else about the Shar. In addition to the fact that the Shar, once condemned, is stoned, is Chayv Misa, mm-hmm. we also have to know that the
Kanja Shech the animal?
Oh, excellent question. So it depends. Let's talk about after Gmar Din. That's the simplest case. Once Bezdin issues its final ruling, then there's no doubt in anyone's mind that the Shor is a Shor Niskal. Mm-hmm. And the mitzvah is Skila. The mitzvah is to put the Shor to death. And if the owner of the Shor, or anyone else for that matter, tries to hide the Shor or something along that line, he is really undermining the whole judiciary process, because we need the Shar and we need Adim to come in and testify against the Shar so that the Bezdin, which is again a high profile Bezdin, can paskin that this Shar has to be killed. Okay. So now the Mishnah says, Shar Shu Yotze Li Sokel. So if it's Yotze Li Sokel, it's Mamish going out to be stoned, mm-hmm. then what level are we up to? Certainly it's after the Negicha. Is it Hamad Bedin or is it Gmar Din?
It's Gmar Din.
Gmar Din. It has to be Gmar Din. And I say this because what's about to be formulated in the Mishnah is only applicable after Gmar Din.
Right.
While Bezdin is vacillating and judging back and forth, the Shar is not a Shar Niskal yet.
Right.
And what the Mishnah wants to establish here as the dinim that apply to Shar Niskal is Vigdishu Bolov Eino Mukdash. The owner of the shor has no authority or no power to be Magdish the shor.
But we have a halacha that that if Beit Din have condemned a person to death, then like they're considered like they're dead. So like it doesn't like they can't Magdish themselves, but
That's a sugyan makas that I think we may have learned together last year. But the point is that the parallel to considering a condemned murderer dead already, once he's been condemned by Bezdin, the parallel in Shar would be what's called the Isar Hanah. Means once Bezdin condemns the Shar, even before the Shar is taken out to Skila, it's called a Shar Niskal. And a Shar Niskal is also Hanah. You can't benefit it from in any way, shape, or form. Which means that it's really not yours. Because ownership requires heter hana. Isar hana is antithetical to ownership. Now, in order to be magdish an animal and give it over to Hegdish, you have to be the bailiff.
Right.
And now that the Gmar Din was already issued, and the shor is a shor niskal, and it's also hana, you're no longer the bailiff. You're not in the driver's seat anymore. You don't possess the shor according to the halakhic legal thinking. And therefore, you can't be magdished.
Right. Can I ask? You said before that like all the dinim of you know witnesses and everything are you know, also apply to the animal. Like, like if there's no witnesses, but it's obvious that the animal killed. I mean
circumstantial evidence.
Like very very strong circumstantial evidence.
Right. Right. No, I'm saying strong absolute circumstantial evidence. I don't know.
I mean, my
intuition tells me that that would not be that, not, because again we have an absolute rule, ki misoso shel bailin kach misoso shel shor. We had a sugya earlier in which the shor wanted to kill Reuven, and Reuven ducked or something like that, scooted out of the way, and instead the shor killed Shimon.
Right.
The shor is not stoned. Why? According to this Rav Shimon Shita, because if a murderer, a human murderer, wants to kill Reuven, and somehow after he shoots the arrow or something, he kills Shimon, he's not put to get death. He's not a rotzeach. And the same thing now is going to apply to Shar because of this rule, ki misoso shel bailin kach misoso shel shor. And therefore I would tell you the following, that if you had very strong circumstantial evidence that Reuven killed Shimon, that's the famous case called Shimon ben Shetach.
Okay.
Do you remember that case? Shimon ben Shetach saw Reuven running after Shimon with a knife.
Okay.
And Shimon ben Shetach ran to see if he, you know, he would have wanted to stop him, but let's say he couldn't stop him, but he wanted to be able to witness Reuven killing Shimon. But what happened is they ran into a cave or something, and then Reuven comes out with a bloody knife in his hand, and Shimon is killed because of the knife that went into penetrated his
body.
Heart.
Right.
And Shimon Shetach says, "I can't put you to death, Reuven, even though I have no doubt that you killed him. The evidence is absolutely ironclad." Again, I won't get into all the details. We can't put a person to death. The Torah says to put someone to death, you require two eidim that saw the maisa. And unfortunately, Shimon ben Shetach missed seeing that last moment because Reuven smartly ran after Shimon into a cave, a dark cave.
Right.
And Shimon ben Shetach couldn't witness the crime.
Right.
So I'm assuming, but again, I can't prove it to you right now, that the same would apply to a shor. If we have circumstantial evidence that's very convincing that the shor killed this person, that wouldn't be enough. We would need two eidim. Now, once the two eidim come in and testify that the shor killed a human being, that's called hamada bedin. Then at some point, once Bezdin has accepted and investigated all the evidence, then they issue their ruling. That's called Gmar Din, and that's when the shor becomes a shor haniskal. And it's also Banna. So the case of Hegdesh that we're dealing with is where the Bailim were Magdish the animal before the animal was put to death, but after the Gmar Din. And if it's after the Gmar Din, then the shor is aser bano. Then he has the case of shchato. This was something that you raised before. Hmm. What would be if the bailim now shechted this shor, they slaughtered it, and what's the status of the meat?
Hmm.
So the Mishnah says, Bisaro asur, you're not allowed to enjoy any benefit from this basar.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because once there's a gemar din, the shor is a shor niskal. We don't have to wait till the actual skila. It's already considered niskal, and it's asur bano. The im ad shelo gemar dino. But what happens if this chacham, this mazik, wanted to circumvent the law, and right before the Gemara Din, because until the Gemara Din is going to be a little bit of time, he went in and he was magdish it,
mm-hmm.
or he shechted it. Also, then the Mishnah says, V'im ad shalo nigmar dino hikdisho ba'olov mukdash. We recognize the hegdish. Why? Because there's no shame shor niskal because it's before the Gemara Din. And if he slaughtered it, he could sell the meat on the open market, or he could eat it for himself and his family. And the reason for that is because it was before the Gemara Din.
Right.
So at this point in the Mishnah, everything depends upon Gemara Din. Now, what we could do now is fast forward. One second. For the Gemara.
Mm-hmm.
The Gemara is at the very end of Mem Daled Amid Beis, the last few words.
Yes.
Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa. Shor Shehemis. Shor killed a person. Ad Shalom Nigbar Dino. If the Baal HaShor, before the Gemara Din, Machro, if he sold it, Machur, the sale is valid. Why? Because this is before the Gemara Din. And the Isra Anah is only Chal with the Gemara Din. He was an Ibra Chacham and he sold the Shor before the Gemara Din. Is the sale is valid. Hikdisho, if the owner of the Shor went in, it was Magdish, the Shor Mukdash. That too is valid. All because he's still the owner, there's no Isra Anah. Shchato, now he goes ahead and he slaughters it. Bisaro mutter. Because again, he chapped right before the Gemara Din, and it wasn't yet Osir Bano. Everything that he did, he did. Now, Hechziro Shomer Lebeis Ba'olav Muchsar. And since the Shor is not Osir Bano, if the shomer was watching the shor, and now he wants to fulfill his chiyuv hashava to return the object, in this case the shor, to its proper owner, he can do so. And now if you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Muchsar, Rashi says, the afogav de shoklile ben beidina. This is a very important Rashi. Because Lanius Daiti, I think what Rashi is telling us here is that when the Mishnah is validating the Mechira or the Hegdesh, it's only on a temporary basis. Eventually, Beis Din will condemn the Shor to death. So the Baal HaShor was makdim, he was very quick, and with a great deal of zrizus, he went ahead and he sold the Shor. He went ahead, he was magdish the shor.
Right.
However, the buyer, or in the case of Hegdish, the Gizbar of Hegdish, has to know, that once there'll be a Gemara Din on this shor, mm-hmm. the shor is also by no. So at that point, they want their money back. But the answer is that when they pay money to buy this shor, they know up front that in all likelihood, there's going to be a Gemara Din against this shor, that it's a shor. It's a shor shehemis asadim, and therefore it's a niskal. It's like, for example, if you buy an automobile, you take it to a mechanic, he'll tell you what the problems are. Once you know the problems, if you go ahead and buy it, you realize you're taking a real good chance that it might fall apart on you in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year. but you have no guarantee it's going to stay alive for you, you know, for the rest of your life. That right. You don't know.
Right.
Here too, when you buy this Shor HaNiskal, it's not yet a Shor HaNiskal, because otherwise the sale would be invalid, but you have to know up front that Beis Din might indeed paskin that this Shor is a Shor HaNiskal.
Right.
And whatever monies you paid, you can enjoy the benefits of that purchase only up until the time that Beis Din issues their ruling that this Shor killed a man.
If the Shor was sold, and then the Maisa happened, and there was Beit Din, is there an Isur Ana of the money from the sale of the Shor before? Like,
well, no. The sale is either invalid or it's valid. If it's valid, then the money is good money.
Because no, but let's say that the Shor was sold before the Maisa ever happened.
So that sale is valid.
Okay. And there was there was another sale after, but before Beit Din had...
had Paskin and the Gemar Din.
Yeah.
So that's what we're learning now. That since he went ahead and sold it, the owner of the Shor, before Beis Din issued their ruling, that means before Gemar Din, there was no Isur Ana on the Shor, and therefore he's the full owner and he has powers and authority to sell it. But the only thing is that that's what I think Rashi's implying here, and this is a sensational chiddush. Okay, the sale is valid, but we have to tell the lokeach, the buyer, that he should know that's not an eternal kind of kinyan. You know, as soon as Beis Din finally issues their verdict, the Shor becomes osur b'ana, which means that the buyer can do absolutely nothing with the Shor. He can't benefit from it at all.
And who will pay? The kofer. The new owner or the old owner?
Well, let me just put it this way. If we're talking about a Shor Tam, then there is no kofer. Kofer only applies to a Shor Mu'ud. And once the Shor has been condemned to death by stoning, and the reason for that is because while it was under the Bailus, while it was owned by Reuven, the first owner, it went out and it killed someone. Reuven has a chiyuv to pay kofer if it's a Shor HaMu'ud. The fact that Shimon buys the Shor is a temporarily valid sale up until the final Gemar Din of Beis Din, but Shimon did not have ownership over the Shor when it went ahead and killed somebody. Reuven did. So Reuven remains culpable. And the only way Reuven could save himself, is if he redeems himself and pays kofar. So the Gemara says, "Hichziro shomer lebeis bailov muchzar." If the shomer returns this shor after it killed a person back to the bailim, they are no longer on the hook, so to speak. They've relieved themselves of any future responsibility. Well, now, the Braisa is going to a Seifa. And what's in the Seifa is after Gemar Din. Correct? It's after the Gemar Din. If the owner of the Shor tries to sell the Shor after the Gemar Din, or he tries to magdish the Shor, he cannot do so. He has no authority or power to sell a Shor HaNiskal, and after the Gemar Din is the Shor HaNiskal, it's also by Noah. He can't sell it, he can't be magdish it. Im muchzar, hechziro shomer lebeis palav, eino muchzar. Because again, all the dinim of the resha, which was before Gemar Din, now flip over and they change in the sefer after Gemar Din. If he tries to sell it after Gemar Din, he tries to be magdish after Gemar Din, the mechira is totally invalid. It's totally meaningless. He does not have the authority to sell a Shor HaNiskal, which means after the Gemara Din. He cannot be magdish a Shor HaNiskal. after the Gemara Din. It's also by Noah. But now we have an interesting question. Let's say the Beis Din ruled that this Shor is Chayav Mi, so they condemned the Shor as accused for killing a human being.
Right.
And at that point, the Shomer, who had taken responsibility to return the Shor, now takes the Shor and he returns it to its Bailim, to the Mafkid. Does that exonerate the Shomer from all his chiyuvim? A shomer is chayav in hashava, in achzora. He gave it back. He took the shor and he landed it on the threshold of the mafkid. And yet, the Tanakhama says, eino muchzor, which means he has to pay the value of the shor. So again, this shomer took a shor.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call the shomer Shimon, and the shor belongs to Reuven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after the Kabbalah Shmira of Shimon, the Shomer, this animal went ballistic and started killing people.
Mm-hmm.
We had such a case not long ago in the news about a matador that was killed in Spain, I think, by the bull. So this bull went out and killed somebody under the supervision of whom? Mm-hmm. The Shomer. The Shomer now becomes Chayav.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition to any Chiyuvim that he might incur for the death of the victim who was killed by the Shor, he also incurs a Chiyuv vis-a-vis the Mafkid who owns the Shor because he can't return the Shor. Why can't he return the Shor? I mean, he has the Shor. The answer is because the Shor is also Manoah. After the Gemara Din, the Shor is also Manoah.
If he was was never the owner, he wasn't with the shore when the animal was killing people,
right?
And then let's say the real owner gave it to him to guard, not telling him that this is what's happening. Meanwhile, there's Beit Din Paskins, and the shore is Niskal.
So in that case, I don't think the Shomer is responsible because he didn't even know that it was a killer Shor. Meaning he was missing certain information. He never would have accepted responsibility for the Shor had he known it was a killer Shor. Nobody wants to go near a killer Shor.
Right.
He's putting his life into danger, the life of his family and his neighbors and the whole society. But the answer is, somehow the Shor, the Shomer, let's say, there are a couple of different scenarios that we could talk about.
Well, I was thinking, like, in the modern world, like, if the, let's say it was a dog,
right?
Okay, dog mauled someone to death, okay,
right?
It happens,
sure.
And anyway, so meanwhile, the Beit Din is deciding, and the dog has been taken away by the Iriya, and it's in the pound,
right.
So meanwhile, Beit Din paskens that it's death of the dog.
Right.
So the area pays.
Well, again, what I'm trying to figure out in your scenario is who is supervising and who is responsible for the show when it went out, or the dog when it went out and killed somebody. Was it in the rishus of the bailim? Was it in the rishus of the shomer? Was it in the Rishus of Beis Din, like you say? Who was meant to supervise this shor?
So guarantee
that the shor wouldn't kill somebody.
So it's the person the person responsible at the time of the
death of the victim, at the time when the shor went out or the dog went out and killed somebody. Whoever was responsible for that protection and guarantee, and instead of doing so was negligent, and somebody as a result was killed, that person becomes responsible.
Right.
But it's a funny kind of thing because the Shor is still alive at this point. Again, it was Gemar Din, but the Shor is still alive. If the Shor is still alive, then the Shomer at least can return the Shor to the Bailim and say, Areshal Cholofanecha, this is your Shor, take it. And I can't be held responsible. Even though Bezdin again is going to get a hold of the Shor, they're going to stone it to death. So it's a funny kind of Hashava. So therefore, the Mishnah Paskins, well, I shouldn't say the Mishnah, actually, this is a Braisa, the price of paskins is eno muchzar. Eno muchzar means that the shomer remains responsible. And again, when we say responsibility, I'm not talking about vis-a-vis the victim and the yorshim of the victim. I'm talking about vis-a-vis the mafkid who gave him the shor, because he can't return that shor because it's also rana.
He doesn't have to worry about the payment, but he just has to. He can't give it back.
That's right. He'll have to pay the value of the shor. So, in addition to all the other chiyuvim that he's chayav vis-a-vis the victim, this shomer, he's also chayav an additional penalty, which is the equivalent of the value of the shor to the balim, because he never returned the shor. He physically can return the shor, but legally he can't return the shor because the shor is also manna. And that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Af Mishen Nigmar Dino, Hechziro Shomer Levailov Muchsar. Rav Yaakov says all he has to do, the Shomer, to alleviate himself of any penalties and payments to vis-a-vis the Mafkid, is to return the physical shor. And since he's able to return the physical shor, that itself is called a Chazar. So now the Gemara wants to analyze this Machlokas. Lema, shall we say, behaka miflugi. What is the root of the machlokes between the Rabbanon and Yaakov? Rabbanon savri ein omrim bisuri ano hareishal cholofanecha. If the shomer takes an object into his possession, and then it becomes also bano through some event or some passage of time or whatever it might be, the shomer can no longer return the object to its bailim and say, Areishal Cholfanecha, here's your animal, here's your chametz, and take it and leave it. Because it's Asur Bano. For Rabbi Yaakov Sofer, Omrim, we say, Visuriyano, Areishal Cholfanecha. That a person, a shomer, has a right to say, here, this is, nothing happened to it, meaning it's in the exact same state, there are no dents or bangs or burns. Here it is, come and take it. Omar Rabba doesn't like it. De Kule Alma, everybody agrees, whether it's Rabbanon or Rav Yaakov, Omrim Bisuri Anoha Reishal Cholfanecha, the Shomer has a right to plop it on the desk of the Mafkid and say, Reishal Cholfanecha, even though it's also by Noah. And that's called the Hashava, the pot, and the Shomer's pot. Diim Kain, because I'm forced to that position. If I don't accept that force, that position, and on the contrary, the way the Gemara suggests, the Rabbanan hold that a shomer does not have the right to say a racial cholfanecha, is niflog le'inyan chametz bepesach. We don't find anyone raising even a whisper of an objection to the halacha that's explicit in the Braisa, later on at Daf Tzadiches Amud Beis, that if a shomer returns chametz after Pesach, or more likely a gazlan returns chametz after Pesach. So the gazlan stole the chametz before Pesach. Now he's chayv the mitzvah of a hoshavas agzela shel gazal. But he didn't get around to returning the gazel until after Pesach. And that's called chametz she'ovrel av Pesach, which is also by Noah. And in such a case, the halacha is gazal chametz orvel of Pesach, and then it says v'shar achlo nigmar dino omer lo hareishal cholofanecha. It means that in the case of chametz, even though now it's also bano, the shomer could be mekayim the mitzvah and the obligation of hashavas Hapikadon, or in the case of Gazlan, of Hashavas Hagzela. And the strange thing is, therefore, if everybody seems to agree, in the case of Chametz that was stolen, that it could be returned by the Gazlan after Pesach, after it became Osbano, under the Aloch of Harishal Cholfanecha, and the Rabbanan don't seem to disagree, so we have to understand why the Rabbanan say, in the case of Shor Haniskal, that it was ad shelo nigmar dino, then the shomer could say areishal cholfanecha, but misha nigmar dino became also by no, he can't say areishal cholfanecha, has a different than chametz. Ela hocha, the Gemara says, the machlokas shin rabbanon Rabbi Yaakov is a different machlokas. what's the din of a shomer that grabs onto a shar and he brings it into Bezdin, holding it in his hand, so to speak, dragging it. And the reason he's doing so is he's motivated to want to bring the shar into Bezdin so that the Bezdin will condemn the shar to death. Like he's like a like Pinchas in next week's Sedra. You know, he's Kanoim Pogibo, he's a real Kanoi. But now, as a result of the fact that the Shomer brought, he schlepped in the shar into Bezdin, the shar now becomes also Banoah. And the machlokas here between the Rabbanan and Rav Yaakov revolves around the following issue. Begomrim dino shel shar shelo b'fanav kamiflegi. Rabbanan savri ein gomrim dino shel shar elo b'fanav. Just like you can't condemn a murderer to death unless all the evidence and the final ruling was set forth in the presence of the accused, of the nidon, the rotzeach. So too in the case of shar, you cannot rule and condemn the shar unless the shar is there. The shar has to be there. That's kemisas habaylim kach misas hashar. The omar lay. Now the mafkid says to the shomer, "You did a real pshia. Why? Because iha ahadarte nihali. Had you returned the shar to me?" Instead of returning it to Bezdin, you were this big tzaddik, pious person. You're the big Hanoi, and you took the shor into Bezdin. Had I had possession of the shor, havi ma'arakna le liagma. We had this in the past. You know, he would send it out into the swamplands, and nobody would know where the shor is. And if you can't retrieve the shor, there wouldn't be any gmar din, and there wouldn't be any skila, and it wouldn't be osavana. So you, Mr. Shomer, caused me a tremendous loss. Why? Because I could have obviated and circumvented the entire process of Gmar Din by just flying, you know, getting rid of the shar and sending him into a chicken coop where no one could find it. Again, I don't think a shar would fit into a chicken coop. Hashta akvisei l'torai biyadi. Now you grabbed You grab the shor, you grasp the shor with your hands. V'lo yachilna lashtuye dina v'adei. And now as a result, the Bezdin will have to condemn the shor and establish it as osur banah. So by transferring and handing over the shor to Bezdin, now I have no claim, so to speak. I have no hope for salvation, you know, to avoid the psak and the gemar bezdin of misas hashar. So basically, you, Mr. Shomer, caused me a tremendous loss on this shar, and that's what the rabbanim mean when they say eino muchzar. Rabbi Yaakov Sovar gomrim dino shel shor shelo b'fanav, and therefore the amalei the shomer could claim. Sof sof migbar havi gomri le ledina. Eventually, the shar would have been condemned to death by the Bezdin, with or without the shar being there. So you, Mr. Mafkid, Mr. Bailim, had no possibility, no wherewithal of circumventing the final gemar din. And now the gemara says, "My time in the rabbanon. Can we find a source in the Torah for the shitas chachamim?" And the answer is, Hashor Yisokel v'gambol of Yumos. The pasuk in the parasha of Shor Shehemis HaSa'odim in Shmos Chafalv says, v'gambol of Yumos. And the addition of the words in this context of gambol of Yumos to create a hekesh, kemisas habaylim, kach misas hashor. And that's the principle that we mentioned time and time again. Ma va'alim, lemisa, Bifnehem. You cannot be gomer the din of a human being and condemn him as a capital crime unless he's right there, present at the time that Bezdin is judging him and ruling against him. And this is based on a pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Hey. V'lo yomis ha-rotzech ad omdo lifnei ha-edo le-mishpat. So if we don't have the rotzech standing here in judgment, then there will be no possibility of condemning the murderer to death. Is af shor, the same halacha applies to shor, befanov, we can only put the shor to death if the shor was there in Bezdin, in front of the Dayanim, and they actually paskin. Rav Yaakov Sovar, what's Rav Yaakov's opinion? Bishlema Bailim, you're right, I have this hekesh. Kemisas ha-bailim, kach misas ha-shor. But don't take this hekesh too far. Because in the case of Bailim, where the Torah says, lo yomus rotzech adom dolfnei ha-edel ha-mishpar, I understand very well, b'nei tainaninhu. The Bailim who's being accused of murder is an intelligent human being. And he may have a taina that would somehow mitigate his condemnation. El shor. But what about the case of a shor? Bar tanosahu? Does a shor have the ability to put forth any sort of a taina? The shor is not a speaking shor. Again, in this week's parsha, we'll have a speaking donkey. And that's Bilam's aton. But that's because on Erev Shabbos, Ben Hashmos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave speech into the mouth of the Aton of Bilam.
Mm-hmm.
But your average shor, I don't think, can speak.
Right.
So why do you want to take the shor into Bezdin in order to condemn the shor? You want to give the shor a right to protect himself with a counter-argument? When was the last time you saw a shor that spoke?
Right.
And I have here a note here from the Rishonim, and you may even see it here reflected in Tosfos Dibur Maschil Ella on the bottom of the page,
mm-hmm.
that even if with regard to many, many other dinim, we have this hekesh, kemisas ha bailim kach misas shor, but with regard to this din in particular, you need the shor to be b'fnei bezdin, that's where Rabbi Yaakov argues that there's no svara to accept this hekesh between shor and bailim. And therefore, that's beyond the, how should I say, the pale or the outer boundaries of this hekesh. Now, what does the word befanov mean over here? Befanov sounds like b'fnei ashar, meaning that Bezdin can't be gomer the din of the shar unless the shar is actually there. So you should know that there's a lechem mishnah in Perek Gimel Hilchos Gzeila that denies the whole thing. He says that the shitas of Rambam is that ein bezdin gomer as dino shashola b'fnei bailov. The bailim have to be there in front of bezdin in order to condemn the shor to death. And that he derives from another Rambam in Perek Yud Milchus Niskei Mom, and the Rambam writes, ein gomer in dino shashor ela b'fnei bailov. It doesn't say ela b'fnei hashor. And the reason for this is, I havi biyode havi mariknele le'agma. What does it mean when the Balim says, you know, if I had access to the shor, I would have sent it out into the marshlands and hid it, and it wouldn't be a gmar din? Why? Kevan she'isi omid sheneva v'eni de bide mi nimtza. He's going to lie through his teeth. This mazik, bala mazik, you know, this big shot, and he's very capable of doing so. He's going to say, look, the shor jumped ship, I have no way of finding it. And you know what? Who's actually the owner of the shor now? Maybe somebody else took possession of the shor. And at the end of the day, Bezdin is not going to be able to be gomer the din. But now that they saw the shor in the possession of the Bailim, that makes him the Bailim, and then they could be gomer sadin b'fanav. Okay, then we'll stop here.